Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we're meditating on the Gospel reading, which we just heard from Mark chapter 8. Let's pray. Lord, sanctify us in your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. One of the favourite TV shows in the Kitson household is Grand Designs. Now, it's got to be the UK version with host Kevin MacLeod, of course. So if you haven't seen the show, Kevin follows the journey of a person, a couple, or a family who are building an architecturally designed house. And before they start construction, Kevin always asks two questions. What's the budget? And what's the time frame? Now, every single episode that I've seen, without fail, I'm pretty sure, two things always happen. They spend way over the budget, and it takes way longer than they first expected it to. Sometimes this happens due to underestimation. They just haven't really done this before, not really sure what they're doing, I guess. But other times, they just get so caught up in this grand vision that they want their home to be, and they get overtaken by passion for this project. And so then the budget and the time frame just don't really matter so much anymore. I think in a somewhat similar way, the disciples got caught up in the vision of this man from Nazareth. They must have seen something special in this miracle-working, gospel-preaching rabbi, because when he said, "Follow me," they dropped everything. It likely cost at least some of them their jobs, and maybe even their closest relationships. It's as if Jesus was an employer, offering these men a job with no salary to offer, no set hours, an immediate departure for an unspecified amount of time. Not a great pitch. But they must have known that Jesus was something special because they didn't need asking twice. So far in Mark's gospel, Jesus has been displaying his God-given authority through miracles, healing people, even as Lord of the Sabbath. Things were looking up for the Jews, who were waiting for their Messiah. They were earnestly expecting their Messiah, who would conquer the Romans and free them from oppression once and for all. But all of a sudden, he starts talking with his disciples about being rejected and suffering greatly and even being killed. He must have this all wrong, surely. Peter stands up for the group. He takes Jesus aside, maybe to avoid embarrassing him or something, and he rebukes him. He tells him off. "Come on, Jesus, this is crazy talk. You're not going to win many more followers if you keep talking like this. You're supposed to win, not lose." Just before this, Peter had publicly confessed Jesus to be the Messiah. He was certain that this was the man who would save them. The disciples were going to get more than they bargained for by following this Nazarene, and it will cost them more than they first thought. But if they were serious about following him, they'd need to accept Jesus' fate and withstand the social pressure to abandon him. So what does it cost you to follow Jesus? What sacrifices do you make for your faith? What are you putting on the line to be a Christian? Jesus says that being his follower involves three things. He says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. Deny yourself. It might seem like Jesus is encouraging us to think very little of ourselves, maybe even to the point of depriving ourselves of certain things or isolating ourselves even. There might be some truth to that, but that's not the whole point. Jesus is talking about priorities. Naturally, we put ourselves first, as we're taught to. We live in an age of DIY, self-help books, and doing what's best for you. It's very normal, and it's even encouraged in our culture to prioritize our own needs above the needs of others. Instead, Jesus is calling us to put others before ourselves and putting God above it all. The season of Lent is a time to refocus on putting God first, which we do by spending time in prayer, listening and reading, listening to and reading God's word, and maybe even fasting to increase the time that we spend on these things. Secondly, pick up your cross. We hear this kind of language pretty regularly in the church. Cross-bearing is usually understood to be those general hardships that we face in life. Things like health issues, tragedies, struggles at work or school, things like that. Although this is part of it, the image of the cross has a bit more to it. If you've seen the movie The Passion of Christ, you'll have a pretty clear visual of Jesus being forced to carry this enormous and very heavy wooden cross along a dirt road, all on his own. The cross is an instrument of punishment, and it's not something that just anyone has to carry either. Our cross is the heavy burden that we bear because of our faith in Jesus. The most obvious one is persecution, which can be pretty clear to see, like it is in places like China, where people have to worship in private for fear of their government. But sometimes persecution is a bit more subtle. Maybe you've not been invited to something because you're a good Christian. Maybe you've had people openly disagree with your faith or criticize the way that you choose to live it out. Maybe something was intentionally arranged to happen on a Sunday, knowing that you go to church. Now, whether you call these things persecution or not, these are the kinds of things that Jesus is talking about here. The sacrifices that we make for our faith are also crosses that we bear. We sacrifice time out of our weekend to be here and to worship God. We give a portion of our money as an offering to Him. We sometimes have to turn away from commitments or even relationships that are causing harm to our faith in some way. These are things which Jesus calls us to bear with Him. And then, as if picking up a cross wasn't enough, He finally calls us to follow Him. Follow Him where? Where's He going? Well, ultimately, His life and ministry was directed to Calvary. But throughout that journey, He faced many challenges and difficulties, as we do. He was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days, which we heard about last week. He knows what it's like to be isolated and challenged. His whole ministry was one of being rejected and targeted. When we follow Christ, we can trust that we're traveling on a road that He's been on before. And so we're able to face those challenges with confidence. Just as He leads us through those times, He also leads us out of them. You can look to Him for help and comfort, knowing that He understands and He walks alongside you. If Jesus is trying to sell Christianity, He's not doing a great job. Following Him is a pretty difficult task, and it costs us a lot. So why would we do it? Why wouldn't we just live how we want to live? That's a fair question. But the truth is, as good as it sounds, living however we want never really ends that well. We so often hear about the trouble that celebrities and sports stars get into, especially once their career is over. In order to get to the highest level that they can, they've had to focus only on themselves for their whole lives and depend on their own prestige, their own ability, even their own wealth to get through life. Eventually, if that's all they have, their world falls apart around them and they're left with despair. The problem with focusing so much on ourselves is what we find inside: sin. Our sin is unavoidable and it incurs a great debt. There is no dollar value for that debt, and there's no right that can undo our wrongs. Even our own lives aren't enough to pay for it, since all we can offer is more sin. We're in pretty deep trouble, and there's no way for us to resolve it ourselves. God knows that we can't fix this problem on our own, so He came and He fixed it Himself. He didn't just come to this earth as a publicity stunt to gain a few more followers. He came to experience life on earth as a human being. He came to defeat temptation in the wilderness. He came to show us his power to heal and to perform miracles. He came to teach us to focus not on the things of man, but the things of God. He came to carry his cross and bear the pain of the sin of the world. He came to offer his own life as a ransom, a payment, so that our debt could be cleared. He came to defeat death and open up the way for us to eternal life. That's really what the Messiah was born to do. So now imagine that you are one of the people building a house on grand designs. The project started off pretty well, but things have just kept going wrong. And now it's in trouble. The budget's out of control. The completion date is disappearing over the horizon. So as you stand in front of the unfinished house, covered in scaffolding, wondering how you're ever going to complete it, a man walks down the driveway. He taps you on the shoulder and he hands you a check. And that check will cover the cost entirely. That's what Jesus has done for you. So today he calls you to follow him. Follow him through the waters of baptism. Follow him through the wilderness. Follow him as he speaks to you. Follow him to the cross. And one day, we'll follow him out of the grave and join in with the heavenly song, with all the angels, to the glory of God the Father. So let's pray that he'll help us to follow him. Lord, give us the strength and the persistence to carry our cross for your sake, knowing that you've opened up the road to heaven for us. Thank you that we can help each other on our journey and encourage us when the road gets tough. In the name of Christ, amen.